look for. We studied a lot, the tempted, but being 40 days tempted of the devil, doesn't, the way that's worded in English, it sounds like he was tempted for 40 days. That's not what it meant. He was in the desert for 40 days and he was tempted of the devil. And the only, the temptations that are recorded are the, were the probably the temptations of the last few days, so after he hungered. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, this was the first real test because he had just got it just confirmed with his voice that thou art my beloved Son, and thee I'm well pleased. So now here he is hungry, very hungry. And so, aha, his mind says, sure, there's no sense in being this hungry. I could turn these stones into bread. Everybody understand that? Does anybody believe that there was like a separate being in a little red suit or however you want to picture him that was there with him in the depth? It's the same question about talking snakes. Well, he is in Robert De Niro in his mind, just as he is in you, in your mind. And just as he was in Christ, in his mind.
I wanted to ask this, what does that make God?
What do you mean, what does it make him?
If the devil is in your mind, what does that make God? Because God is also in your mind.
It's your image of God is in your mind.
But somewhere along the line, God made us in his image. He did not make us to be him.
No, wait a minute. Somewhere along the line was before the fall.
But yet in Christ we were redeemed.
Only if you die are you redeemed.
But Christ was resurrected.
That's right, because he is resurrected in you.
So
your only enemy,
and you are resurrected in him, which means you're no longer dead.
No, you no longer live, but yet it's not you that are living. Well, so I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that faith is only revealed in my abandonment, in my denial of my mind. But you can't get there until you've seen the end of your mind. If you still think your mind has some value, then everything I say is just crap. Well, he appeared to him in a dream, is what, to Luther. He was a vision. He woke up and saw the devil. He thought he woke up, and he saw the devil sitting at the end of his bed. He said, oh, it's just you, and went back to sleep. He is defeated. He has no power except the power that you give him.
I mean, the point is whether or not he has some form that he manifests in. I mean, I don't know.
Well, he manifests himself in the form of anything, not anything he wants to, but he manifests himself in the form, if you believe anything that I teach, he manifests himself in the form of you. You've always been a vehicle for deity. But since the fall, you've been a vehicle for the wrong deity.
Some visible form, and maybe you're not the point here. But
Yeah, I mean, whether he, I mean, I doubt very seriously if he, you know, unless you want to believe that. I have never in my experience and knowledge of the mystery have seen or heard of him appearing that wouldn't be explained by his appearances in your mind. So that's all I know.
All I know is I saw him once in the mirror, twice actually, in a common form with horns and red and all that business.
But that's your mind. See, that's the image that your mind has expected.
Yeah. And it was fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as... I'm a reasonably good speaker, and I can hold an audience. I did when I was in politics. There was all kinds of pressure for me to be an evangelist from the people that... I was on that television show every night, interviewed all these people. Oh, yeah, you got, this is what will set you up, da da da. That
was a temptation.
That was a temptation to the first temptation was to use now that I was a believer to be a politician for Jesus. And the second temptation for me was because, again, almost everybody I prayed for or anybody I touched was healed. It was just, well, it was awesome. And so, this must be it.
Surely God has called you.
And so, what happened was, I saw the meaning of testing. The idea you're never tested by something you don't possess. And the test is always has to be the emptying of what you know you possess. Because the fruit of that takeaway experience, I mean, my conversion experience, was that anything held by me for a second would pollute it. And so your mind, just stop and think of... when you grow up in a culture that's animistic, and you'll see devils everywhere. You go into a charismatic church that you've been raised in your whole life. There's a devil behind everything.
Who's that guy that cast devils out?
Well, there's a whole lot of them, but you're talking about Bob Larson.
Yeah, he carried them in his suitcase or something. Everywhere he went, there were demons throughout the crowd.
Well, it's just
like because he believed in them, gave him power.
Right, but it's just. I said in an interview that Larson couldn't tell the difference between a demon and a bellyache. I mean, he's just goofy, and has nothing to do with the mystery of God. And so, this how things are manifested visually means nothing. You go to a Kundalini ceremony in yoga. And you see the whole room full of what looked to be demon-possessed people. It looks like one of the charismatic things where they're doing the, you know, the laughing or the crying or the rolling around, groaning as dogs and all that. It's just the human condition. When you're programmed for something, then you see what you're expected to see. What you hear is what you see. Doesn't make it real. And that's why I said before that I don't think I would be deceived by somebody coming in and doing tricks. Because I've already been tested along that line. And so it's the simplicity of Christ that we have to keep our heads on. Let nothing, as the snake... Let's look at that one. That's because that's real important. Oh, 2 Corinthians 10. Where is it? 2 Corinthians 11 or 1 Corinthians 11? 2 Corinthians 11. verse 2. Paul's saying, he's talking about the Seder in Corinth. And he said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And it's clear in Greek because it's making the simile of mind to serpent, mind to serpent. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so this, if you've ever traveled very much, you've seen, you know, these weird manifestations of belief systems that are just beyond the pale. It just shows how subject your mind is to whatever culture you grew up in.
You know, if you had yielded to those temptations, then you would have created some sort of religion. Convince people was.
Well, it just.
And there would be another one.
Yeah.
Like every snake can create a religion, and that's the temptation is to have your own personal belief system. It doesn't necessarily correspond with anything else.
I just want us to understand how incredibly. This thing about the power of positive thinking is true within a limited parameter. You know, I think Harry would have given his right finger to have found it, but I was vice president of a company called Enthusiasm Incorporated, and it was to teach people to use the power of positive thinking to accomplish ends. Mostly we sold the dealies to used car salesmen and other salespeople. And it was done with language. I mean, it was sorcery by language. And you could convince yourself, you'd get into these speech. We finally sold the company to Arnold Palmer, which was another whole deal. And so the whole thing was, you could see what you could accomplish with the power of the mind. But what happened with me is I had to take all of that stuff and extend it all to the edge, to push it all to the barriers, test everything to the, as far as it'll go. And it just hit me, okay, so you do that, and then you still die. And then you get all that stuff, and then you're still screwed up. Well, it's meaningless. So, you know, that's the power of these guys like Benny Hinn and Copeland and the others, is that they are utilizing this trick that any good speaker could do, but it has nothing to do with eternity. And the same is true with all these different manifestations. Well, Satan appeared to me, and he and me and hey, Satan were wrestling. Well, that's just bullshit. But that's what I've heard, what's his name, in Louisiana say that. I mean, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let nothing give you the idea that you're in some kind of a battle. Let's just, it's all over. And I think that from 38 years of preaching from every word in the Bible, I think we've proved it's inside out 16 ways from Sunday. I don't care what manifestations that somebody says they had. I don't care if you saw 15 devils in the mirror. It's your mind that's seeing them.
Yeah.
And you can convince others to see him with you.
Yeah. And then there's the big, so what? Yeah. It's all to me is a diversion. excite your brain so that you'll have all this crap, and rather than the simplicity that's in Christ.
Well, and this is what we're dealing with now. This was a manifestation of some way when the God of this world tempted Jesus Christ. The first temptation was, he was hungry, he's really hungry. If you've ever, I've tried to fast, I think the longest I ever made it was 2 weeks. And I would have killed my sister for a hamburger. But it's possible, it's medically possible to fast for 40 days. But can you imagine the temptation? He's out in the wilderness, there's nothing there. I'll turn this stone into bread and I can eat. But then, as Son of God, thou shalt not live by bread alone. And the majesty of that meaning is this, what you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And so what you eat, if you're eating something of that's really just dust, as we've talked about many times, then it satisfies not. So why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Is what the Isaiah, and that's really what he's coming to here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Let's go back there.
Where do we go?
Back to Luke chapter 4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now I know this is controversial as hell, but I really truly believe that was Jesus' mind as Son of Man saying that to him. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not doctrine. Except that if you could understand that Jesus, as Son of Mind, as Son of Man, could tempt him like that, just think what your mind can do. That's all it does is tempt you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay? Everybody understand that first temptation? Now, it's manifested in the afkumen, in the communion. When we take the bread and say what Jesus said, he predicted his death and his burial and his resurrection in that prayer and that blessing. But what it is for you, it defines your death and affirms his resurrection in you. But then more so, it causes you to have only one purpose, and that's to be the bread that feeds others, never for yourself. So there's a whole lot in this bread stuff here. But amen? And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. There's these great debates in the Talmud in the ancient writings about what is the moment of time. And one, I think he was probably one of the monks, computed that a moment of time was 58,888th part of an hour. Now, where that came from, I have no idea. But that's taught somewhere. But the point, what does this mean in a moment of time? It means he caused him to leave time so that he could view all time, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, and said, all this, what does he say? All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now stop a minute and think. What would you have done? Can't see the value in that test?
I personally don't. That doesn't attract me. I can understand it as a pretty big deal, but...
Doesn't get any bigger.
It doesn't get any bigger, but personally it's like I wouldn't want that.
You could cause your mother not to have died. You could cause you to have an experience that first love. You could have won the Olympics. Whatever it is that your heart desired, you could have had. You could have stopped any pain or suffering of any of your loved ones. Tell me that's not attractive?
Well, for what I know now, no, it's not, to tell you the truth.
Well, not, maybe not right now, I'm just saying.
Maybe on the other side, yeah. I don't know why it's hit me that way, because of what we talk about and seeing the end of all things. Death is not the bad thing.
Yeah, but this isn't about you. It's about what he could have done to alleviate suffering for the whole human race. It wasn't about him. He was never tempted to do anything for himself. This was the temptation of what he could have done for the entire world. He could have solved every issue, every problem, everything that beguiles man. He could have stopped all suffering, all pain. And the only thing that when it says if you worship, all this will I give you if you worship me, doesn't mean he'd have to, oh, Satan, I worship you. It means all he'd have to do is worship himself, give himself importance. That would be worshiping Satan. Do you understand that?
So, does it say what he said, though?
Jesus said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Now all he would have had to do was serve himself, and he would have been serving Satan. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do understand that.
And all he would have had to do is for one split second be tempted to move with the temptation. To solve every pain, never have it, the pain would be gone, war would be gone, injustice would be gone, peace and harmony would exist everywhere, the weather could have been perfect, whatever it is. Well, that's huge. And he said no. My purpose is to give God only breath, to give him only importance. Now this is, you should see this, and if any of you had any hot dogs in the fire over this election, then I want you to see the goofiness of it.
That's the beauty of this whole thing, is that his life was not about himself, it was about what God was and yielded to that whatever it happened to be.
Yeah, but all he had to do was convince himself for a split second that it was God's will for everybody to be healed. It wasn't possible for him to be tempted about something for himself. But this would always be for somebody else, for something else. Now, tell me give me something that you think is important in the world, and I'll show you this. Give me something that you have, you have as a cause or as a.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that? Now Now, this is why. Let's look at three scriptures real quick. Go to Genesis 3.
You got a question?
What?
She's got a question.
No, she said where to go.
Oh.
Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that this tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. When they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, that temptation was fundamentally the temptation to judge for yourself good and evil. Now, but it had all these other implications. But fundamentally, it caused, for the first time, self-awareness. And once there was self-awareness, then self-realization had to be the end of it. The goal of it. And that's where we are as a human race. So that's why, and let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So Jesus didn't buy the temptation. As the new creation. He never judged for himself good and evil. Now think how subtle that is. It's not subtle. It's subtle only because we swim in it. That's all we do. And it's the fruit of the fall. And that once we do that, it enhances self-awareness. So we can, we talk, it's always blah, 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 that person that's doing this or this. It's just crap. And it enhances, and that tail bearing enhances this self, you do, why would anyone tail bear? Why would you talk about somebody else if they're not there? Well, it's fruit of the fall because it puts you in the position of judging good and evil. Anyhow, there's two more tests. One more test. Well, that's a good place to stop. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Cool stuff.
The serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety. Let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. And simplicity beyond simplicity.
Yeah, the only way you can keep from judging good and evil is through abandonment, repentance. Otherwise, that's all you do.
Well, you have to disown it. You have to totally know that there is nothing of value that can come from your mind or your emotions. You say that, but then first thing you do is study to try to learn something.
Try to be wise.
All righty. John? Anything strike you in all this? Take a big guy.